Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
Rick Moore is not here this morning. This is Sean McCord on WPVC 94.7 FM. WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We are going to be talking this morning with Jody Kilbasa, the director of the Virginia Film Festival, and Wes Harris, the programmer and operations manager. We are just getting their microphone set up, and we'll go forward. The Virginia Film Festival starts this week on Thursday, runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All right, gentlemen, we have one mic, so get comfortable with each other, and let's talk. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you both for being here. This is kind of a tradition with us for you to join the wake-up call and spend a full hour talking about the Virginia Film Festival. When does it actually start, Jody? What is the first screening?
Well, the festival opens up in the afternoon on Thursday afternoon. Actually, what officially is our very first screening, although not the official opening night film?
The first film we have starting this year is actually Birth of a Nation on grounds at UVA.
Oh yeah, and this is we've been asked by a lot of people why are you screening this film? Obviously, it's a very challenging and horrifically racist film, and the reason that we're screening this film is to throw a spotlight on this particular time in history and sort of mark some of the changes and what hasn't changed. The film is being moderated by Professor Doug Blackman from the University of Virginia's Miller Center, mm-hmm. who's an expert on studying Birth of a Nation. We have a representative, actually the president of the Black Student Alliance, on hand, and several other panelists that will look at this through a modern day lens. And most importantly, how many things really continue to be an issue in this country and worldwide regarding the issues of civil rights and race? And we really want to throw a spotlight on this and have a serious discussion in the light of Ferguson this year. So many incidents of racial violence and racial discrimination. And hopefully we'll have a very important discussion about this. So that film is on Thursday afternoon, but we actually open the festival officially with a new film about Hank Williams called I Saw the Light. It's directed by University of Virginia alumnus Mark Abraham, mm-hmm. Who is on the Virginia Film Festival Advisory Board.
That's 7 p.m. at the Paramount.
That's
on
correct.
Thursday night.
That's correct. And this film stars Tom Hiddleston, who a lot of our viewers out there might remember from
From the Thor franchise.
Exactly, in the Avenger franchise as Loki. Mm-hmm. He's a remarkably talented British actor who plays Hank Williams in this film and, by all accounts, just does a phenomenal job, real acting tour de force, obviously taking on that country twang, and actually sings the songs as well. He has a wonderful voice and is able to mimic the style and the dialect of Hank Williams. The film also stars Elizabeth Olsen, Cherry Jones, two-time Tony Award-winning actress and Emmy Award-winning actress, who will be on hand with Mark Abraham for a discussion immediately following the film, and a new rising star named Maddie Hassan, who's actually in two films during the festival. Wesley, you want to talk about that other film that Maddie stars in?
Yeah, our second film, actually on the same night, is called A Light Beneath Their Feet. It's a film that just world premiered just a couple of weeks ago at the Mill Valley Film Festival. We'll be bringing in the director Valerie Weiss, the producer Jeff Loeb, as well as Maddie, who has a fun and slightly devious role in the film. It follows Taryn Manning, who audiences might know as Pensatucky on Orange is the New Black, and her daughter, played by Madison Davenport, who is a high school senior, and she's having to make a decision. Does she stay home and remain the anchor for her severely bipolar mother, played by Manning, or does she attempt to live a life of her own for the first time and go out and visit college across the country?
So Light Beneath Her Feet is Thursday at 6. So some people may have to choose. It's Thursday at 6 in Newcomb
Definitely
Hall Theater.
Definitely so.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of choices you have to make during the festival, and I think that's kind of what's kind of fun about the festival. You know, whether you're racing across the grounds to listen to Oliver Stone and make it in time for his screening of Born on the 4th of July at the Paramount Theater on Saturday, or listen to an independent film director that's elsewhere. There's a lot of just fun and exciting choices.
Well, tell us about Oliver Stone, because this is a good chance to open up the door. Maybe for people who aren't as familiar with the film festival, we don't just show films. We also bring in filmmakers and guests and show several other films and have an opportunity to hear them talk. So a lot of people know who Oliver Stone is.
Well, certainly. I mean, Academy Award nominated and award winning director, writer, mm-hmm. producer Oliver Stone is returning to the Virginia Film Festival for the second time. He was with us about 4 years ago for a special screening of JFK, and this year he returns for a screening of Born on the 4th of July. I would argue that that is one of Tom Cruise's best films, and it is really, really a remarkable film, a very powerful and compelling film, and he will offer a moderated discussion immediately following the screening at the Paramount Theater with Bob Toplin, who's Professor Emeritus of History from University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and also teaches at the University of Virginia and is a noted expert on the Vietnam War, and has worked with Oliver several times before. They've collaborated before, so this should be a really interesting discussion. And it's really great that Oliver's returning. It really shows that he enjoyed his time here in Charlottesville and at the Virginia Film Festival. And that's always a special thing when a filmmaker or an actor returns to any film festival, particularly Virginia Film Festival makes us very proud.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC, WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Sean McCord hosting our annual Virginia Film Festival show with Jody Kilbasa, director of the festival, and Wes Harris, the program director. And Wes, I want to hear a little bit more about selecting films. If you want to talk to Jody or Wes, you can call us at 284-9470. That's 9470 as in 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Wes, tell us what a programmer does and how films get into the Virginia Film Festival.
Well, the simplest way I can describe it is my job is basically to go out, find cool stuff, and bring it home for our audiences here in Charlottesville. Jody and I travel to a handful of other festivals, other screenings and celebrations throughout the year where we're scouting new films, talking to artists, finding those new voices, those new perspectives, these up-and-coming trends in movie making, and bringing those home to champion here with the resources of the university and the rabid film-going interest of the Charlottesville community that surrounds it. That's one of the three main braids, as I see it, mm-hmm. that inform the program that we pull together.
Make the whole challah bread of the Virginia Film Festival.
Like that. Yeah, that sort of sleuthing element, if you want to think about it like that, that is one avenue where we go out and find and track down and bring in new films and guests. And then another is relying on the incredible advisory board that we have, a lot of longtime members, amazing directors and producers in L.A. and New York, mm-hmm. who are working at the highest levels of the industry, who are advocates of ours, both with their own work and, again, advocating for us with other distributors, other filmmakers, making connections. And then that final third part of the braid is our open call for entries that we launch each year,
right.
which is open to any filmmaker in the world, including on the other side of the globe or just down the street in Charlottesville.
So if a filmmaker would like to have their film considered at the Virginia Film Festival, how do they submit it? What's the process?
Yeah, so it'll be in late winter, early spring, we'll launch the call for entries for next year's festival, and we launch it through the platform Film Freeway, which has become sort of the new industry standard for film submissions. So we're easy to find that way. And we make it as easy as possible to be found on our website via marketing, where it's a very simple process to go on, log on, send us a link, send us a copy of your film, fill out some forms, and we will take a look at it.
And that website is virginiafilmfestival.org, where you can also go to find out the schedule for this year's festival and buy your tickets.
You got it.
But, you know, to elaborate a little bit more on that process that Wesley was just sharing with you, we really begin our process every year in late January at the Sundance Film Festival. And Wesley and I travel out to Park City. And between us, we will see well over 50 films or more. And that's really, you know, one of the industry's largest sort of gatherings, where they'll sort of hunker down out there in the snow and watch films for 10 to 12 days. And that sort of starts the festival season for us. Other festivals include the Full Frame Film Festival, which is a noted documentary film festival that's actually presented by Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, the AFI Doc Film Festival. This past year, we had hoped to go to True False Film Festival in Missouri, of all places, interestingly enough. But it's a wonderful little boutique festival that's done really well over the last couple of years. Wesley also travels down to the River Run Festival. In past years, we've gone to South by Southwest and Telluride. And as we're looking through and sorting through the call for entries, we're going to these film festivals. And then, usually in late August, through mid-September, there's a number of film festivals that include Venice, Telluride, the Toronto Film Festival, and the New York Film Festival that inform the final decisions we make for the Virginia Film Festival. And this year we added one as late as just a week ago, which is a sneak preview of a new film, a Hollywood, major Hollywood release with big stars and two Academy Award nominated filmmakers on Saturday evening at 9 p.m. at the Paramount, and we will not tell you what the film is until we get to the stage. So I'll be out on that stage at 9 o'clock to introduce those Academy Award winning filmmakers, and that's when we will reveal the name of the film. And we hope everybody shows up for that. It's really going to be a great screening.
Oh, that's very sneaky. But all these other festivals you've mentioned, the Virginia Film Festival, it's already developing reputation. Virginia Film Festival has been going on. This is what, it's 28th year.
Yes.
I lost track. And you've been here.
This will be my seventh Virginia Film Festival.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, we've talked about opening night. You talked about the Saturday that you can't tell us. Tell us about what's going on Friday. And really, Friday, you've got events going on all day.
Well, we do, and there's a lot of incredible films, and I'm certainly going to let Wesley's programmer fill in a lot of the gaps, but I will talk about two important screenings that evening, and they're all important to us because they're all our babies. But
and how many films this year, Joe?
Oh, my goodness. We haven't even counted them up. I can easily say we are well beyond 125 films.
Wow.
I know we have a larger program than ever this year. We've added on a couple of additional venues. Of course, you know about the new Violet Crown.
Mm-hmm.
We returned to the Vinegar Hill Theater this year, which is now run by Lighthouse Studio,
right.
But we're going to be back screening in there as well. We've added on the Southern Music Hall, which is great. And last year, of course, we expanded on at PVCC, Community College. So the festival's growing. More screenings, which is a
more screenings and
thing
more screens.
That's right, and more guest artists. Over 125 guest artists that we're bringing in, filmmakers, big stars, people that I call social change agents, like Larry Kramer, and we'll talk more about him as well. But on Friday evening, we are screening. We're carrying on a tradition that we started several years ago when we screened True Blood and we had Alan Ball in, and Breaking Bad, and Wesley moderated a conversation with Vince Gilligan and Mark Johnson by screening a new PBS series called Mercy Street, which is about the day-to-day happenings in a Civil War hospital in Alexandria, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Really particularly interesting connection because, of course, the University of Virginia actually was turned into a Civil War hospital during the Civil War. And so there's that interesting connection for Charlottesville and UVA. And we will have Mary Elizabeth Winstead in for this, and a relatively local actress, Hannah James, who hails from Central Virginia, will be on hand. And she's sort of the breakout star of this series. And so both of those will be on hand, along with the producer, to talk about this new series. And so that's an interesting twist for the Virginia Film Festival. And then that same evening at the Paramount Theater, we are screening the directorial debut of Meg Ryan in a beautiful new film called Ithaca that was shot on location in Virginia. Virginia, largely in the Richmond and Petersburg area. And this film also has Tom Hanks in it, a wonderful new kid, Alex Neustadter, and the film focuses on him. And it's based on a William Saroyan novel, The Human Comedy. And it takes place during World War II in a small rural town. And it's all about the story of a young boy, played by Alex Neustadter, who delivers telegrams during World War II. So you can imagine what some of those telegrams reveal to the townsfolk. And it's a very beautiful, beautiful film. And again, Meg Ryan will be on hand.
As will Alex Neustadter, right?
Unfortunately, Alex just had to drop out. Oh, he's a young actor, and he got cast in a new film.
Okay,
so we lost him. But we will have Meg Ryan, and we'll have the producer, Janet Brenner, and we'll have Lois Robbins, who also acts in the film, on hand to discuss the film afterwards.
Unlike the clock on the wall, it is 11:17 a.m. on the Sunday morning wake-up call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, heating oil and propane for your home or business, and the award-winning Markets of Tiger Fuel, with 6 area locations.
It is the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. It is 11:18 on today, Sunday, the end of daylight saving time, so 11:18 Eastern Standard Time. We're on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We're talking to Jody Kilbasa and Wes Harris of the Virginia Film Festival. If you would like to talk to Jody and Wes and talk about the film festival, you can call us at 284-9470. Wes, we were talking about programming and how you select films. What are the films that you're most looking forward to this festival?
I'm most looking forward to the ones that are going to catch people off guard and surprise them and haunt them for weeks or months or years to follow. And there are plenty of those tucked in throughout the program on every day of the festival. Even into some of the afternoons on Friday, we're able to stay in step with the audience who is there and wants to see movies all day long. So we're screening some films like Heart of a Dog by the performance artist Laurie Anderson.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
On Friday afternoon in the Paramount, just to sort of enjoy that setting, that big screen treatment of a really sweet and unexpected, another directorial debut, actually. Mm. Laurie Anderson's never made a full feature film like this before. And it'll be bittersweet in its ways. It'll be beautiful in a lot of others. It'll explore the legacy and the... the haunting memories of her beloved rat terrier, as well as her late partner, the legendary Lou Reed, from the Velvet Underground. So it should be a really special film. Some others that might be out there sort of on the brink, as it were. That same day, later that night on Friday, we're showing a film called Eisenstein in Guanajuato by the incredible filmmaker Peter Greenaway, who people might know from the film The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover. And this is an imagining of about a 10-day period in the life of the Soviet director Sergei Eisenstein that he spent down in Mexico when he couldn't quite make it work in Hollywood. It is working in sort of painterly tableaus the way that Peter Greenaway does, and goes in a lot of bizarre, really exciting, really thought-provoking directions.
Well, okay, so as a fellow film nerd, I'm excited by some of the things that you are. But the film festival is really wide-ranging. I mean, it's got things for everybody. Plus, a tradition that you've started, Jody, is the Family Day.
Well, that's true. On Saturday morning, November the 7th, we will offer our annual Family Day as part of the Virginia Film Festival. And we've really been very proud of the growth of this particular part of the Virginia Film Festival. Family Day takes place from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the Betsy and John Castine Arts Grounds at the University of Virginia. Don't worry about parking, because there's plenty of it in the Colberth Garage, which is right there where Family Day takes place on the Arts Grounds. And we're kicking off with a special screening of Pixar shorts, which are always so incredibly inventive and fun and absolutely great, and not as commonly seen.
Sure.
You might catch them before a Pixar film from time to time, but not always. And they've incredibly fun film, and a great way to introduce your young one to screening. And then we are following that with a 20th anniversary screening of the beloved family classic Babe. And, you know, both of these are free and open to the public.
Wait, they're free?
They are free and open to the public. And, you know, we'll have a balloon tying and face painting. And we have a series of interactive film-oriented workshops that the University of Virginia's arts departments and programs will be putting on. The Symphony will be offering a petting zoo so kids can, you know, be introduced to the instruments themselves. And Symphony members will be on hand to play them for the kids and allow them to touch them and work with them. The Symphony also offers before the screening of Babe an opportunity where they'll be on the stage and they'll actually take kids through how musical sound effects are created through these instruments as well, which is really fun. There's an animation workshop. It's just it's a very great day. And of course, our Young Filmmakers Academy screens that day, and we have over 600 students from Albemarle County and city schools that have written, created, produced, edited, directed, and star in their own short films. And they have a red carpet experience. They come down there with moms and dads and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles in tow to see their world premieres of their new films. They have a great experience getting photographed. A lot of them dress up, and then they present these films, and it's absolutely extraordinary. So all this is free from 10 to 3 on the Betsy and John Castine Arts Grounds, the free Pixar shorts that are being screened, and then the screening of Babe. There's plenty of parking and an opportunity to just have a great day with your kids.
This is also part of your outreach to local schools. In addition to the Young Filmmakers Academy, you also traditionally screen a film during the festival.
We do. We do. And this year, we have nearly 1,000 high school students and that are attending a screening of Most Likely to Succeed, which was produced by Ted Dintersmith, who actually lives here. But I first met Ted out at the Sundance Film Festival for a screening of Most Likely to Succeed. And it is a film, a documentary film, that features High Tech High in San Diego. And it's a school that really doesn't have the traditional state testing. Instead, the whole school is project-based. And it's really a fascinating documentary that takes a look at our current educational system in the United States and suggests an alternative, moving away from this focus on testing and more into learning and experiences. And it's a fascinating film. We're working with both Albemarle County and Charlottesville City Schools to present this. There'll be a panel discussion afterwards. And then we reprise that screening later the same evening, Friday evening, for the general public as well, with a moderated panel. Bob Pianta of the Curry School will be moderating a panel with a number of educational experts as well.
Wes, you're the primary programmer for the festival, but we also have guest programmers. Longtime festival goers will remember when the late, great Roger Ebert would come here and bring some of his films and lead discussions, and we're sorry that he's no longer with us, but we have another great guest programmer this year, famed critic and film historian Leonard Maltin is going to be coming in and showing and discussing some films. Can you talk about those?
Yes, absolutely. We're amazingly excited to be welcoming Leonard Maltin this year as a guest programmer. The idea of this came about originally as part of our collaboration with the Library of Congress just north of us up in Culpeper to celebrate some of the preservation work that they're doing. And it actually grew to be even more than that. So we are pulling two pristine preserved 35-millimeter prints from the archives that were hand-selected by Leonard from the Library of Congress that we'll be screening at the Cobra Theater during the weekend of the festival. Mm-hmm. One of those is a classic that a lot of people have seen but never seen this way, and that's The Maltese Falcon.
Great film.
Yeah, and even if you've seen it once or a handful of times, you've never seen it in as good a quality as this, and I at least have never seen it introduced by Leonard Maltin before. So I'm really excited that he picked both sort of a popular favorite, a favorite of his in Maltese Falcon, as well as another film called Employee's Entrance that we'll be showing the next day on Sunday during the festival, which is a 1933, I believe, pre-code Hollywood film. And what that is, it's the little sliver of time in between the silent era and the implementation of the Hays Code, which leveled down a lot of the raunchiness of the films that were made during this little period. So it's a really fun and intriguing artifact of its time, and a glimpse into the kind of filmmaking that did happen in Hollywood for a couple of decades there.
Speaking of raunchiness, we're also going to be showing a Mae West film in collaboration with Live Arts, with
exactly.
their production of Dirty Blonde, which is a play about Mae West. Talk about our relationship with the Library of Congress up at Culbreth.
Well,
some people may not know about the work that's going on up there.
Well, certainly. A couple of years back, the University of Virginia signed a agreement with the Library of Congress to explore a partnership, and one of those partnerships includes the Virginia Film Festival working with the Library of Congress to celebrate the National Film Registry. If you're not aware of it, it was actually begun by an act of Congress in 1989, wherein each year important films that are either culturally or historically or significant or both are added to a list as part of a cultural treasure for the United States. And over the years, a remarkable list of films have been developed. And each year, the Virginia Film Festival features several of those films in association with the Library of Congress. Some of the films that we've explored in the past, we launched the series actually with a screening of Badlands
mm-hmm.
and had Turner Classic Movies Ben Mankiewicz on hand to discuss this film that had a very, very young Sissy Spacek, young in her career, where she met her husband, Jack Fisk, who
That's
was
right.
The production and art director of that film. And we were able to screen that film at the Paramount and had a lovely discussion after the film with Mankiewicz and Sissy Spacek and Jack Fisk.
Yeah, it was a great night.
Truly was. And then a couple of years ago, what I considered to be one of the transcendent evenings of the Virginia Film Festival was when we screened All the President's Men,
right.
marking the 40th anniversary of the Watergate I shouldn't say tragedy, but Watergate break-in, but scandal, which was such a significant part of American history. And we had Woodward and Bernstein mm-hmm. on hand for a moderated discussion with Governor Gerald Baliles, who had founded the Virginia Film Festival. And again, just an extraordinary evening. The two of them had not shared a stage together in a number of years, and they were in a great mood, regaling the audience with extraordinary stories. And I remember, you know, the scene in the film where it becomes apparent that they're both concerned for their own personal well-being and safety, and they're concerned
right.
about something might happen to them as
right.
they're divulging this information. And somebody from the audience asked if that was true or just kind of hype. And I remember Carl Bernstein answering and saying, no, I there was a point where I was really, really concerned and
yeah.
scared, very scared. And it was remarkable what they shared and revealed with the audience. So, you know, this is part of our series to celebrate sort of the history of the United States. And part of that really is our film history, which tells people who we are culturally. And that's what that series is all about with the Library of Congress.
It is 11:30 Eastern Standard Time on the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7. WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We are talking with Jody Kilbasa, director of the Virginia Film Festival, and Wes Harris, the programmer. If you're interested in talking to Wes and Jody, give us a call at 284-9470. Jody, you just mentioned two of my favorite highlights from the past few years. I was there in the audience for Badlands. I was there in the audience when we showed All the President's Men. And what's great about that is that years later, you know, those are the things that people are really going to remember, is those kind of events with people of that stature and talking about, you know, films or events that are such a significant part of American history. What do you think people are going to be talking about this year?
Well, you know, I think one of the things they'll be talking about, and certainly that's one of my hopes, is that people will venture in to see Larry Kramer in Love and Anger, this new documentary about someone who I consider to be a major social change agent, and that is Larry Kramer. If the name is not automatically familiar, he is really the sort of angry AIDS activist in the early and mid 80s who literally reached out and grabbed the American populace by the shoulders and shook them and said, "You must pay attention to AIDS. It is a tragedy. It is a tragedy that will unfortunately have a tremendous negative impact on a whole part of the populace, and we must do something about it." And he got people to pay attention. Of course, he wrote the beautiful and compelling and very powerful Broadway play, The Normal Heart. It was turned into an HBO film. But again, this is somebody in my mind. And one of the ways that the Virginia Film Festival is able to distinguish itself from the other 1,500 plus film festivals across the United States is that we bring in people who are history makers, who have shaped history, as we have in years past with bringing in a number of the Freedom Riders. By this year, throwing a spotlight on Stanley Nelson's latest film, The Black Panthers. And in this case, by throwing a spotlight on Larry Kramer and the work that he has done, as well as an author, an artist, and an activist.
Some of the other spotlights that you're doing this year, you just mentioned in passing the spotlight on civil rights, and you're also working with Congregation Beth Israel to highlight some Jewish filmmakers and Israeli films, and there's even a bit of overlap in there, which I find fascinating, with the film Son of Saul.
Well, yeah, that's true. It's for me, it's been very interesting because after my first year here at the Virginia Film Festival, we did away with the concept of an overarching theme.
Right.
But I promised everybody at the time that rather than take something away, we would actually be offering a wider variety of themes that we could explore each year through a sidebar of different films. And of course, if there has been an underlying rather than an overarching theme of the festival in the last 6 years, now seven, it really has been an exploration of civil rights,
right.
Which unfortunately in our country just never seems to go away, whether it's racial tensions and racial equality, or it is LGBTQ issues and same-sex marriage, whatever the case may be, it just always is just simmering there under the surface, or sometimes comes to a boil above that surface. And so as a result of that, this year we're screening once again a number of films that take a look at the social and historical impact of the civil rights movement. We have a new documentary on Selma, not to be confused with the narrative that was out last year,
right,
that we're presenting in partnership with the Center for Politics, that's being screened at the Jefferson City School on Sunday afternoon. And that is a free screening and open to the general public. Of course, I mentioned we have Stanley Nelson's new documentary that is continuing these documentaries done on the civil rights movement that started with Freedom Riders and then last year's Freedom Summer. And now this latest film, Black Panther, The Vanguard of the Revolution, that we're screening as well. We have an interesting documentary called by Perez Arduino, a comedian filmmaker who will be on hand, called Bound, that explores the cultural differences between African Americans and Africans.
Right.
Yeah, very, very interesting documentary. And then we have a beautiful new film called Rosenwald, which is about the Jewish philanthropist who founded Sears, but who also founded a number of schools for African Americans in the 20s and 30s. And some of its graduates include Julian Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing this as a tribute to Julian Bond, who, of course, was featured in three films at last year's Virginia Film Festival.
And will be missed this year.
No, greatly missed. And his widow, Pam Horowitz, will be on hand with Rita Dove and the filmmaker Aviva Kempner to pay tribute to Julian Bond after the screening.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVCLP, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We are talking to Jody Kielbasa and Wes Harris of the Virginia Film Festival. Jody, you mentioned the filmmaker of Rosenwald. She is a D.C.-based filmmaker, and you try to bring in a lot of local filmmakers. There is a surprising amount, perhaps, to some people. Surprising number of films and Virginia-based filmmakers out there.
Well, you know, and I want Wesley to answer this question. I will just say briefly that over the years, it's been a commitment from the Virginia Film Festival. I actually founded years ago by Governor Gerald Baliles in partnership with Patricia Kluge and the University of Virginia. And part of the original focus was to throw a spotlight on filmmaking in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I'm very pleased to say that, you know, the quality of filmmaking in Virginia is extraordinary. Certainly our local and regional filmmaking community is very, very strong, and the Virginia Film Office has done tremendous work to bring filmmaking into Virginia. So that's an easy thing for us to embrace. And Wesley, you want to talk a little bit more about some of the wonderful films and filmmakers that we're throwing that spotlight on from Virginia?
Yeah, absolutely. It really is almost an embarrassment of riches. We've got both shorts and features, documentaries and narratives from Virginia filmmakers that we're bringing in this year. Everything from the intensely experimental work of longtime festival participants like Kevin Everson and Lydia Moyer to some of the higher profile films in the festival, too. We mentioned earlier that Meg Ryan's Ithaca is very much a Virginia film,
that's right,
though drawing on some more national resources. Same goes for the film Coming Through the Rye, and a lot of the Virginia team that was part of making that imagination of a period in J.D. Salinger's life. We have a documentary called Southeast 67 that will be screening in the Vinegar Hill Theater, which was directed by Betsy Cox, who lives right here in town. And this is a documentary that follows a handful of African-American students who in the late 80s were promised college scholarships, sort of loosely with the intention of countering the heavy toll that the crack epidemic was taking on this particular sector of Washington, D.C., and what impact did that have on their lives? Did it turn it around, or did it further complicate things? This film checks in with a lot of those individuals two decades later. We have a great number of short films from Virginia as well. Local director Eric Hurt, who's been featured in the festival in past years, has made a lovely short film called Elemental that will be screening before Lady in the Van. And there's a lot peppered throughout there, even sometimes when you wouldn't expect it, with some of these that are very high-profile, Hollywood-worthy productions being made by our neighbors.
And people can find out more about the festival and get information and schedules and tickets at virginiafilmfestival.org. This is the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. It is Sunday morning.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, heating oil and propane for your home or business, and the award-winning Markets of Tiger Fuel, with 6 area locations.
It is the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC. This is host Sean McCord talking with Jody Kilbasa, director of the Virginia Film Festival, and Wes Harris, the programmer. This is our annual tradition. Thank you, gentlemen, again for for coming
Thank
back
you.
In. In addition to the 125 plus, you haven't counted them yet, number of films, you also throw some pretty great parties. Jody, you want to talk about those?
Well, sure. I traditionally, you know, first of all, the word festival means to celebrate, and we are celebrating each year the incredible filmmaking artistry of the program that we're presenting and the filmmaking, the guest filmmakers and artists that we're actually bringing in. And so immediately following our opening night film, we will have our opening night gala, which takes place at the Jefferson Theater right across from the Paramount where the opening night film is screened. So it's about a 2-minute walk or less over there. Mm-hmm. And it's just an absolutely lovely and fun evening. We have the Cool Cat Lights band that plays. It's really, I think, remarkable in the sense that so many of our filmmakers are on hand for that. Of course, our opening night guests, Mark Abraham, Cherry Jones, and Maddie Hassan, but also a lot of the other filmmakers who will have just arrived for the screenings later in the weekend are on hand, along with our sponsors and patrons and supporters of the Virginia Film Festival. And then, of course, on Saturday night, night, we have the late night wrap party, which is a tradition at most film festivals. And for us, it's a lot of fun. It's in the Main Street Arena. They cover over the ice, so don't think you'll be slipping and sliding or need skates by any means. But
That could be fun.
But we have usually nearly 500 people now that are showing up. And this is a testament to the growth of the Virginia Film Festival. I think that that party has grown from about 100 people my first year to nearly 500 now. And it's a lot of fun. It's an inexpensive ticket, only $35 to attend with food and drink and DJ and a lot of other entertainment that's going on. And it's a great opportunity because we'll probably have close to 100 of our guest artists and filmmakers on hand. So it's an opportunity that if you've seen their film, to chat them up about it, to make new friends, and just a lot of fun. And that starts at 10 o'clock on Saturday night in the Main Street Arena. And I might add as well, on Friday evening, we have a Meet the Filmmakers at the Digital Media Gallery at Second Street Gallery, which is where we show off the student films of Kevin Everson and some of the other additional Kevin Everson experimental films. And it's there actually at Second Street Gallery all month long. But Friday evening, we have a reception there. A lot of the filmmakers will be dropping by, so it's an opportunity to meet some of them as well. So those are our sort of special event parties, but they're all open to the public, and I think people get confused about that from time to time. You can go on our website at virginiafilmfestival.org or go down to our box office and festival headquarters at the Violet Crown or on the Betsy and John Castine Arts Grounds at the Arts Box Office and purchase a ticket to the late night wrap party or the opening night gala. And the Digital Media Gallery is free to go through on Friday, so it's just a reception that you can wander through and take a look at the great experimental films, meet some filmmakers, and share a glass of wine.
You've talked about some of our local partners. Obviously, the film festival is sponsored by the University of Virginia.
Correct.
You get a lot of support from the Virginia Film Office.
Mm-hmm.
We partner with the Main Street Arena and the Miller Center. And you mentioned the Violet Crown. Some people might not know what the Violet Crown is and what that's going to mean to our community now.
Well, the Violet Crown is the stunning new screening facility that just opened up on the downtown mall.
Mm-hmm.
People remember where there was a Regal Theater years ago. Well, actually, just last
months
year.
Ago.
Yeah. 11 months ago on the downtown mall. Well, that has been completely gutted and rebuilt, and there are now 10 beautiful new screens there, stadium seating.
Mm-hmm.
There's a restaurant. There's a bar. The bar looks out over plate glass windows right over the beautiful downtown mall, and it is stunning, state of the art, and it just opened on Friday, October 30th. And we're going to be screening in there. We have four screens, and it's where the festival headquarters and box office are on the downtown mall. And I can't even begin to describe it. Charlottesville, you will be blown away. Go to the new Violet Crown Cinemas. Check it out. They're going to have a great mix of blockbusters and art house fare. But, of course, it's our festival headquarters and where we will be screening during this year's Virginia Film Festival. And quickly, some of the other venues. We're screening at the Paramount Theater.
Right.
We're going back to the Vinegar Hill Theater, which is now run by Lighthouse Studio, but we'll be screening a full slate of films there. We're at Piedmont Community College, screening there in the mm-hmm. Dickinson Auditorium. We are on the grounds of the University of Virginia in Culbreth Auditorium on the Betsy and John Castine Arts Grounds and at the Newcomb Theater.
Right.
We even are partnering this year with the Department of Music, and John Durth will be doing an original score of the silent film Faust in Old Cabell Hall on Friday evening as well for you silent film enthusiasts out there. So those are our – did I miss any venues, Wesley? I think those are – Southern Music.
Earlier.
Yes, thank you. The Southern Music Hall as well we'll be screening at. So we've sort of shaken it up. And the great thing about the festival is that although a lot of it is centered on the downtown mall and the University of Virginia, we branched out to Piedmont Community College. And it's this great triangular hub where you can get to any of the screening venues within 10 minutes. And the energy that it sort of encapsulates is phenomenal. You see filmmakers and patrons walking around with their festival badges, going into the downtown mall, restaurants and coffee shops. And it's just really great. There's a tremendous energy all weekend in Charlottesville wrapped around the Virginia Film Festival.
We've already mentioned several of our special guests, Larry Kramer, Leonard Maltin, Meg Ryan, Oliver Stone, some other names that people may not have heard of, but but are returning to the festival. People like Rick Alverson and Scott Hayes.
Yeah, exactly right. I'm really excited that Rick Alverson's able to join us this year. He's originally from Richmond, and he's made a film called Entertainment. That is, the way I've been describing it is something like an acid Western, but with a stand-up comedian instead of a cowboy. It is this bizarrely tonal sort of psychic trip through the California desert through a number of desolate, seedy venues that this comedian is going through. Rick will be joining us. He will be talking about what it means to walk that line in between something that's approachable and something that's of a completely different headspace entirely. And then, indeed, we're bringing back Scott Hayes for the third time with another directorial debut with his film Mully that we're very excited and proud to be screening over in the Piedmont Community College Auditorium.
And a guest and film that I'm particularly looking forward to is bringing Bill Plimpton here, the animator. Now, that may be one of those names that everybody recognizes, but you'd recognize the style.
Absolutely. Even if not from his own work, you've recognized his style from the work of the countless artists who are taking inspiration from him throughout the world of animation. This is probably the single most greatly respected independent animator in the world.
Right.
This is the person who goes and teaches master classes to Disney and Warner and Pixar and elsewhere to give their teams of artists inspiration. And this is actually part of our collaboration with Leonard Maltin, going beyond the Library of Congress partnership to inviting in, essentially we asked Leonard if there were guests we could invite in to the festival in tandem with his participation. Who would he like to sit on stage with and have a conversation exploring the work of? One of those is this legendary animator, Bill Plimpton. And the second guest that we're bringing in with him is Maggie Greenwald and mm-hmm. her film Songcatcher, which was an award-winning film at the Sundance Film Festival about 15 years ago, which follows a turn-of-the-century musicologist in the Appalachia of Western North Carolina.
And you've touched on something, Jody, Wes, that I think is one of the best things about the festival is it's not just the opportunity to come in and see all of these films. And by the way, there's no way one human being can see all of them. But after the films, you have so many post-screening discussions with filmmakers, with special guests, with people from the university, with people who are experts in their field. And that's really what makes the festival stand out, I think. I mean, we have so many opportunities to see films now with, you know, streaming videos and our widescreen TVs that we have at home. But to make film, remind us that it is such a community experience, such an immersive experience to sit in a theater full of people, watch a film together, sort of feel the emotion in the air, and then have people who are part of that film or who are experts in that area to come out and talk about it afterwards. And I think that is what distinguishes our film festival from just a night out at the movies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that expert framing that we try to provide, the archivists, the scholars, the artists and experts that we bring in to give framing and meaning and sort of a point of direction toward a school of thought around something, either the cinematic properties of a film formally or the subject matter and the conversations, the lives that these films explore is something that I think is very unique about what we do. And on the flip side of that same coin, what makes us hugely unique is the depth of intelligence and energy of our audiences who come out. They are the reason that these guests keep coming back for these conversations that they just don't have other places as often. There's an energy and a level of discourse here that our guests really are eager to come back and experience again.
But, you know, I want to stress that the festival remains remarkably accessible, and this is what I hear from time and time again, is that, you know, first of all, you know, our prices are the same prices as your local Cineplex here in town. We really try and keep the festivals accessible in that regard. We offer a number of free screenings during the festival as well, and experiences. And part of it is that experience where it might be intimidating sometimes to go to an academic lecture. The great thing about film film is that it really opens it up to a general audience. They're able to come in and listen to a film about a different, difficult or powerful subject, and then to hear some of these experts talk about it along with the filmmakers, who usually have a tremendous passion for this subject matter, and then open it up for questions and discussion with the audience, makes for a very open and accessible experience.
Yes, and I mean, I have friends who have come to the festival who aren't film people like me, film people like you, and they walk out with such a greater appreciation. I mean, they've said to me that was such a great experience, seeing not just the film, but hearing people talk about it afterwards. It is 11:51 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on 94.7 WPVC, the Progressive Voice of Charlottesville. You are listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. I'm Sean McCord. I'm sitting here, I'm standing here, they're sitting, with Jody Kubasa, the director of the Virginia Film Festival, and Wes Harris, the programmer of the Virginia Film Festival. Jody, you mentioned a few times our partnership with HBO, and one of the films that we're going to be showing is the Project Greenlight film, that came at the end of this season of Project Greenlight. Can for people who aren't familiar with the series, but probably particularly for the people who are, can you talk a little bit about that and then about this film?
Well, yeah. One of our Virginia Film Festival advisory board members and a University of Virginia alumnus, Perrin Childs, who's actually a producer on this project, which of course is Project Greenlight, that's Ben Affleck and Matt Damon's project, whereby they work with a bunch of filmmakers and ultimately select one filmmaker to sort of throw efforts behind creating a feature film. And we're bringing in the filmmaker Jason Mann and Perrin himself, who will be talking about this screening afterwards, and of course it's a screening of the Leisure Class, which he's just finished. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the series, so it's really interesting because it's kind of a hybrid for us. We're doing a screening of an actual film that's part of a reality show television series, which is a really kind of a twist, right, Wesley?
Yeah, it's really lovely to see all the work, all the sweat that you see on screen in the series come to fruition and have a beautiful standalone narrative film polished up and ready to share with audiences, which is exactly what we'll be doing with the Leisure Class.
Speaking of young filmmakers, the festival also sponsors something called Adrenaline, or sort of the Adrenaline Film Festival within the larger film festival. Jody, can you talk about that? Because that's one of my favorite events.
Sure. Well, that's a 72-hour filmmaking project that actually was founded here by Jeff Wadlow. Mm-hmm. Jeff returns this year along with a group of mentors that all have tremendous experience in Hollywood that work with a group of filmmaking teams. And they basically write, create, edit, produce, and cast actors locally and regionally to be in these films that they create in 72 hours.
Wait, that's crazy. Say that again.
No, 72 hours. They create these films, and then they're screened at the Virginia Film Festival. And it's a competition. Filmmaking teams have to submit to be in this. And each year we have a number of films that go through the submission process. They're selected. And then they show up really just about 2 days before the festival for their first meeting.
Right.
They're given a prop that they have to use mm-hmm. and feature in the making of their film. Mm-hmm. And then off they go, and they create these films. And then the films are judged at the screening on Saturday evening at the Virginia Film Festival. And the screening takes place in the Culbreth Theater on the Betsy and John Castine Arts Grounds. It always does extraordinarily well. And in my now 7 years here at the Virginia Film Festival, this is a beloved project that happens, and people talk about it all the time.
Yeah, if you've never been to one of the screenings, I really suggest that you go to, because not only do you get to see these wild, crazy, anarchic, and yet beautiful films, but the amount of energy in that room. I mean, the people that are just literally running on adrenaline, so it is well named, and the cheering and the applause and the enthusiasm, because even though it is, you know, it is a competition in that there are first place and second place and third place films chosen, everybody is so supportive of each other.
And to that end, the one of the biggest things that separates the Adrenaline Film Project from some similar programs around the country, like the 48-Hour Film Project, is that mentored element that we
yes.
offer. So it does underlie that point of community that I think you're talking about. We bring in a team of mentors to come in and guide all of our teams through that from pitch to shooting to exhibition all within those few days. And we're able to sort of bleed back and forth between Adrenaline and the festival proper, offering guest mentors, some of the guest filmmakers that we bring in for the film festival to come in, sit down for a little bit with a few of the teams, give notes, and really give that professional touch to a really intense weekend.
And can you talk about some of the mentors this year?
Well, we're bringing back Jeff Wadlow as lead mentor, as Jody mentioned.
And he's a longtime friend of the festival. But exactly, tell us a little bit about who he is.
Yeah, so he's the son of the late Emily Couric, state senator, after whom a number of wonderful organizations in town are named. He's recently helmed the film Kick-Ass 2 and Cry Wolf before that. He's got a lot of writing projects in the can. They're going to be adapted at some pretty high levels that we're really proud of him for. We'll be bringing back the sort of, you might not know her by name, but one of the top acting coaches in the country, Lee Kilton Smith, will be coming back to join, as well as a couple local filmmakers, and Lighthouse Studio will be involved with a couple of their own teams. So it's a really wide cloth of individual and young artists that we're able to give a hugely unique opportunity and resources to.
Which I think is one of the special things about the Virginia Film Festival, the opportunity not just to come see films, but to support local filmmakers, and if you like, be a part of local films. It is 11:57 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We only have a couple of minutes left here on the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC, the Progressive Voice of Charlottesville. This is Sean McCord with Jody Kilbasa and Wes Harris of the Virginia Film Festival. We've got a couple of minutes left. What are some gems that we haven't had a chance to talk about or that you want to reemphasize? Wes?
Sure, yeah. There's both on the documentary and narrative side, there's some things that I think will play hugely well here in Charlottesville. There's a documentary we're showing on Friday called Real in the Closet, and this is an exploration of archival home movies documenting the LGBTQ movement over the course of decades, going as far back as the 30s through the 70s and beyond. It's a hugely organic, very bittersweet, but intensely beautiful assemblage of these reels of film that were sitting undiscovered in closets for decades that are now being given light, most of which for the first time, to shed light on a hugely beautiful movement. Real quickly, another one, just so that I can have an excuse to say the director's name on the air and impress everyone real quick. The Thai director Apichat Pongrasithakul, we are bringing back.
What was that name again?
You know that, Sean. You know Apichat Pongrasithakul. Come on. His new film, Cemetery of Splendor, will be showing. And I think either at the Virginia Film Festival or at one of the student film societies that I ran as a student, I think we've shown every single film that he's put out over that period. He's a bit of a polarizing figure, but it's a very deliberate, hugely polished auteur level of filmmaking that the people who are into that sort of thing will have their minds blown by the film.
Jody, I'm going to give you the last word. Who do you want to give a shout-out to for this film festival?
Well, you know, I think I want to give a shout-out to Charlottesville to basically invite all of you to come to this year's Virginia Film Festival. You've given us tremendous support over the years, but, you know, I still wander into people who, for whatever reasons, in our 28 years, have never attended the Virginia Film Festival.
Isn't
and again,
crazy?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate how incredibly accessible it is, how largely affordable it is, and you can go online at virginiafilmfestival.org, or you can pick up our beautiful printed program, which is available in Seville as we speak, and the entire lineup of films is there with the synopses about them, and you can read about them and come see something. It's an extraordinary opportunity to see some beautiful cinema and to celebrate with the filmmakers and guest artists that we have on hand.
Jody, Wes, thank you as always for coming in. This is a grand tradition. Thank you for being a part of it. This is Sean McCord for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, 94.7 WPVC.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the Progressive Voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC LP Charlottesville.